Now I'm joined in studio by Nicholas Shapumba, who is the Senior Health Program Officer at the Ministry of Health and Social Services, as well as by Moza Suleiman Youssef, who is the Senior Quality Control at ITEC Namibia. They are here to make us understand about cervical cancer, its background, its burden, and interventions. Mr. Shapumba, pleasure to have you. Welcome to On the Radar News Analysis.
Great to have you too. Thank you.
Okay. Ms. Moza, thank you so much for making time.
Thank you too.
Okay. Now, of course, we're talking about cervical cancer in Namibia. Kindly tell us, what is the burden of cervical cancer in Namibia compared to globally?
Yeah, if I may start, it's true. Let me first appreciate this platform for us to engage with the nation in as far as cervical cancer is concerned. Yeah, the cervical cancer, it's a problem in Namibia, perhaps more than other part of the world, because of our population. If you have a lot of cases compared to the population, of course, it will be
the
picture will be So what as far as the situation is concerned in Namibia, per year we are diagnosing about 350 new cases, per year
in Namibia.
And this is a lot compared to our population, like I indicated. And out of that number, so we are talking about close to 203 deaths that we are reporting from cervical cancer.
203 deaths.
Yes. Sure. So that's a lot of deaths due to cancer, especially given the fact that cancer is a preventable disease, especially cervical cancer.
Mm.
So it's a lot of cases. And when it comes to now cases per 100,000, also Namibia topping up. So we are talking about 33 cases per 100,000. So, and now if you look at in the rest of Africa, we are talking about 17.9 per 100,000.
Mm.
So we are higher than that.
Yeah.
And the world, it's 14 cases per 100,000. So we are more
almost
than,
double.
Yes.
More than double.
Yeah. So it's a problem.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. The third thing is cervical cancer is preventable.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay. Now, Ms. Moza, I do get that cancer or cervical cancer is the fourth most common cancer in women. Now, why is it that young women, especially uneducated women in poorer countries, are more disproportionately affected? Why does it affect them more?
Okay. Oh, thank you. There are various factors actually that interplay among this is having lack of awareness or access barriers. Uneducated or poor women in this country have low access to health facility and some social cultural vulnerability. So when we talk on the education and awareness, the lower level of education itself, it already translates that women have less awareness of the need of the cervical cancer and prevention through vaccination and the screening methods that are available in the various health facilities as preventive measures.
Mm-hmm.
And when we talk about the social cultural vulnerability, this is like women who are starting having sexual activity early, like involving themselves on the earlier sexual debut or higher fertility and limited autonomy in making decision of their own health.
Mm-hmm.
So this put them at risk to contract the virus that is causing cervical cancer. And when we talk about access barriers, they have limited healthcare infrastructure in these countries and the fewer screening facilities and vaccination and also financial obstacle these are all factors that can put them at risk, and at the end they will have a burden of having more at risk of getting cervical cancer.
Mm. Yeah. Now, I do understand that the Ministry of Health and Social Services is rolling out the human papilloma vaccine for children from the age of 15, I guess? Or is it lower than that?
It's from the age of 9 to 14.
From 9 to 14.
Yeah, from 9
okay.
to 14.
Why is that very important, and how is, what is the relationship between human papillomavirus and cervical cancer?
Okay, so cervical cancer itself, it's mainly caused by the human papillomavirus that we are going to talk about, the vaccine. So this virus, it causes some changes in the cervix, because when we talk about cervical cancer, we say it's the cancer that developed at the cervix there.
Mm-hmm.
So the human papillomavirus, when you get infected, it will take time, and then this virus will cause some infection, and it causes some changes on the cervix, which is then become a cancer.
Mm-hmm.
So having the vaccine for preventing this, this is a, like a prophylaxis vaccine that we give. And then after you get the vaccine, you develop immunity. So the moment that you get contracted with the HPV virus, you already develop immunity in your body, and then you are have a chance to be protected, like you have a protection already after the vaccination.
Okay.
So that's why it's very important. And this vaccine, it's more effective at the young age, between that age of
9 to 14. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, however, it can be given to the elder age, but it's more effective at that age.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And yeah, because we want to protect our girls earlier, before they started their sexual activity, or even if they have already started, but then they are not exposed more compared to the elder one. So it's more effective during this age.
Okay. Now, a lot of parents are very skeptical about that vaccine. What are some of the myths that are perhaps going around that you would want to address in order to break that barrier? And what is it that they should be on the lookout? Does it also have some side effects that they should expect?
Okay, yeah, the myth is always there, and it has been there, and that's why we are here to give them information. So the main myth of this vaccine, they believe that it can cause infertility.
Mm.
Like after we give this to the young girls, they will not be able to get children, which is not true. The vaccine, it's safe. And it with the side effect, they are also worried about having side effect. All the medicine have side effect, not only HPV vaccine itself. And the side effects, they are very mild and rare to happen.
Okay.
Like pain at the injection site or swelling. This is a common and mild side effect that they can be tolerated. And in case there is any major side effect, which is rarely to happen, and it hasn't been recorded, the healthcare provider will be able to take care of that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now, Mr. Chapumba, you did talk about cervical cancer is preventable. Kindly get into those details, how exactly it is preventable, and as well also talk to us about the significance of the types of human papilloma virus types.
Yes, it is preventable.
Mm-hmm.
Preventable by the vaccine.
Okay.
That's the strongest weapon that you have
to
prevent it. So, but then, Smoza and Zitke indicated, you have to give it early.
Mm-hmm.
Early to that age. That's why we, as a ministry, are targeting that age group while early. Number one is because they are not yet sexually active.
Okay.
So that they are exposed to the HPV virus.
Mm-hmm.
Number two is the vaccine is effective when administered to a young person compared to the older person.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So the types of of virus that we have circulating, we have what we call type 16, and then type 18. Those viruses, HPV virus, are responsible for 70% of cervical cancer.
Mm.
So, and this is the type that we are having circulating.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. We also have some other types, 6 and 11, that are also causing other type of cancer,
mm-hmm.
Like the cancer of the penis, cancer of the vulva,
mm-hmm.
cancer of the vagina, and so forth.
Mm-hmm.
So those ones are also seen secretion. But the dangerous one that is causing cervical cancer is the type
16 and 18.
Okay. And those are the ones that we are targeting
mm-hmm.
With our vaccination.
Mm-hmm.
But also the other one, because our vaccine that we have procured as a ministry is targeting all those four types of
virus.
HPV virus.
Okay.
Yes.
Now, Mr. Mwosa, in terms of human papillomavirus, what exactly is HPV and what are the symptoms? What if, for instance, somebody already has the symptoms of HPV? Do they still get the vaccine, and what's the way forward?
Okay, so when we talk about HPV, it's a human papilloma virus.
Mm-hmm.
And when we talk about human, it's us, yes. human being.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a virus that it can be contracted through skin-to-skin contact
mm-hmm.
and mainly through sexual
intercourse.
So when we talk about the human papilloma virus, if somebody already contracted it at the early stage, since we believe that young girls, they are still have no infection because mm-hmm. for the human papilloma virus itself to develop to cancer, it has to go through stages mm-hmm. of pre-cancer. It mm-hmm. can take up to 10 years. So, if it's already like a woman, let's say here, maybe we can come in a question that we are targeting the girls that are from 9 to 14, but then you can get a girls of 13 years old,
yeah.
but this woman maybe was pregnant and she's having a baby, then we say maybe she was already exposed
mm.
with this virus.
Mm.
She can still benefit.
Okay.
She can still benefit because it also give immunity.
Okay.
Yeah. As long as it still is not in cancer stage or pre-cancer stage,
mm-hmm.
the girl can benefit on the vaccine.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Is it true that genital warts are some of the symptoms of HPV?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Thank you for that question. Yeah. Mr. Shapumba mentioned here the genital wart. It's also part of the infection from HPV.
Mm.
And the vaccine that the government procured in Namibia,
mm-hmm.
it is covering four types of virus. He mentioned about 16 and 18, which
yes,
is mainly
yes.
for cervical cancer.
Mm-hmm.
So we have type 11 and type 6, which is the cause of those genital wart.
Mm.
So getting this vaccine, it's actually the best vaccine compared maybe to other vaccine, like we have another vaccine called Cervarix.
Okay.
The one that Namibia is going to have is Gardasil. So it have extra advantage of protecting from genital wart because it cover four virus,
mm-hmm.
HPV virus. So mm-hmm. yeah, that's true.
Okay. Yeah. And sorry, for this, next question, it's similar to that one, but for, a patient or for a mother mm-hmm. who has the genital warts and is actually pregnant, how do they prevent that, transmission to the baby?
Okay. With the genital wart, it actually doesn't have any effect with the newborn
okay.
baby. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So the mother can give birth without any complication and mm-hmm. can get treated afterwards. So
okay.
it doesn't have any effect with the newborn baby with the genital wart.
Noted.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, what are the main, Mr. Shapumba, what are the main goals of the National Cervical Cancer Control Program that you currently, the ministry is currently rolling out?
Yes. Thank you for that question again.
Mm-hmm.
The main goal of the ministry through the cancer control program
mm-hmm.
is to reduce the incident of cervical cancer.
Yeah.
Remember, we're talking about the path to elimination. We want to eliminate cervical cancer
mm-hmm.
as a public health problem.
Mm-hmm.
Now, with these goals, is number one is to vaccinate at least 90% of the girls
mm-hmm.
by the time they reach 15 years of age so that they are protected. If you
yeah.
vaccinate them, then you are assured they are protected from the risk of cervical cancer.
Mm-hmm.
But we also want to screen women to find if they have some already, maybe cancer, I mean,
cervical
cancer lesions.
Mm-hmm.
And this one, we are talking about the age of 35 to and above.
Mm-hmm.
So you screen them so that if they have some lesions, then they can be attended to.
Mm-hmm.
So the other goal is to make sure that now, once these women are screened and they are found to have some precancerous cells, then they will get also the treatment that is available or intervention that are available.
Mm.
So the whole idea is just to make sure that we bring the cancer problem to a manageable situation.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Okay. So the aim of the program is sort of simultaneous to vaccinate the children from 9 to 14,
yes,
and as well as to screen those in the risk zone of 35 and above.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And then to also now to treat those that are found to have maybe a cancer.
Mm-hmm.
We have intervention that are available.
Mm-hmm.
The chemotherapy is available at the big hospitals.
Mm-hmm.
Radiotherapy.
Yeah.
Also.
How long is this program intended to last?
Yeah. The program is ongoing,
mm-hmm.
But now specifically for the vaccine, we haven't started yet in the state facility. That's why we are here to tell the nation that we are about to start.
Mm-hmm.
So this is the first time that the Minister of Health is introducing the human papillomavirus vaccine.
Mm-hmm.
But the vaccine has already been in the country, but in private sectors.
Okay.
So now with the introduction in state facility, we are starting early August, and then it will run for 2 weeks as a campaign,
mm-hmm.
and after the campaign the vaccine will become part of the routine
mm-hmm.
immunization schedule
okay.
in the country in all our public okay. health facilities.
Okay. Also, the campaign will be sort of like in every town, city, village. Or how exactly?
Yes,
okay.
It will be, because remember this age group that you are targeting, mm-hmm. the 9 to 14 years, close to 100% of them, they are in schools.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll visit the schools.
Mm-hmm.
But we'll also, those that cannot be attended at the school, especially those that are maybe out of school,
mm-hmm.
although they are not a lot, they will then be attended at the health facility.
Mm-hmm.
We will also have some mobile team that will go deep in remote areas where there are no schools, just to look for any other girl in that category.
And make sure that nobody misses out.
Yes.
Okay. Is this something that is going to require parental consent, or the rollout is automatically for every school-going child?
It is. We will not call that a consent. We call it a permission.
Okay.
Yeah, you see, it's an intervention, mm-hmm. although we are saying it's not something that is require actually a consent. That's why I say it's not a consent, it's just permission.
Mm-hmm.
Permission from the parent to say, no, vaccinate my girl.
Mm-hmm.
That's what we'll... So there will be already in the system, in the Ministry of Education, they're already having those permission that they give to parents
mm-hmm.
to give their...
Signature.
Go ahead, yes.
Okay.
So it will still be the same.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
So for those parents who are actually not forth about it, they will not insist?
Yes.
Okay. Mm. Okay. Ms. Musa, what message would you want to give to the young girls themselves and to the parents in terms of cervical cancer and in terms also of this program that you're rolling out?
All right. I'm actually glad that vaccine has finally come in the country, because previously we have been telling our community who are already willing to take the vaccine that unfortunately this vaccine is only available in the private and some cannot afford. So this is the time that we have been waiting for so many years,
mm-hmm.
and now we have the vaccine in the country. So I will tell all the parents there, please bring your girls, and the girls, please get vaccinated so that you make the right decision. You protect yourself from getting cervical cancer in future.
Mm.
And the parents, please let the children, the girls come for vaccination, please. come through, let your children understand in case they don't understand, and your parents give permission for them to take the vaccine. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's really the time now, because I'm really happy that now it's in the government, because previously it was not there. So this is the time.
Mm.
Yeah.
Okay. That's very interesting. And, for you, Mr. Shapumba, what message would you give to the fathers out there? I mean, it's not just the responsibility of the mothers, but yeah.
Yes. Fathers, they are parents just like mothers.
Yes.
Maybe there are a lot of them are not involved that much in the
women's stuff.
But we also call upon them to support in this case. They need to support. You see, it's information is power.
Mm-hmm.
If the father is having information about preventative measures for her daughter, so they must at least just educate the mother as well as the daughter, and the boy as well.
Mm.
So we are saying this time we are not targeting the boys.
Yeah.
But it does not, we are not saying the boys cannot get a vaccine.
Yeah.
It's only that this time the priority of the ministry is the girls because of the issue of cervical cancer.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, but in future when the resource permits, we may also think about the boys.
Mm-hmm.
This vaccine is expensive.
Mm.
That's why the people who had medical aid and who had resources to buy it, they were the only one who have access to it because it's expensive. Mm. A dose is over $1,000.
Is that so?
Yeah, it's very expensive. So okay. We are calling upon the nation, now that the ministry have made a wise decision to have a vaccine, please let's use this opportunity to have our girls vaccinated and therefore protected from the cervical cancer.
Okay. And lastly, are the parents or girls, young girls, to be asked to pay any amount as they are going to receive the vaccine? Because I think you didn't make that clear.
Yes. For the state, remember, for the state, our service is for free.
Mm-hmm.
We give it for free, especially the vaccines.
Mm-hmm.
You don't pay anything.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's why it's now an opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
So those who are having medical aid can still go to private as usual because they can afford. But at the state facility, what we are going to administer at school, you don't pay a single cent.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. So they should grab the opportunity it's still available. Very okay. Nice. Thank you so much, Mr. Shapumba, for making time for us right here on the reader. Okay. Thank you so much, Ms. Musa Youssef, for making time for us right here on the reader analysis.
All right. Thank you.
Okay. Mm-hmm.